Let's turn tonight to Exodus. We come tonight to the eighth of 10 plagues, the plague of locusts. And here in the eighth plague, we see Pharaoh's halfway, half-hearted response to God. Pharaoh again desires to have relief from God's judgment, but he refuses to do what is needed in order to truly come to the Lord and have full relief. He refuses to fully humble himself. He refuses to fully repent of all of his sins. He tries to halfway listen to and obey the word of God. So this is a warning for us tonight. We must give our whole selves to the Lord. We must fully humble ourselves before the Lord. We must fully repent. We must listen to God's word entirely and obey all of it. There's no halfway when it comes to serving the Lord. So let's read tonight Exodus 10, verses 1 through 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of me, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land so that no one can see the land. And they shall eat what is left to you after the hail, and they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field. And they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and of all the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen, from the day they came on earth to this day." Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go serve the Lord your God." But which ones are to go? Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and daughters and with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." But he said to them, "The Lord be with you if ever I let you and your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go the men among you and serve the Lord, for that is what you are asking." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt, for the locusts the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been before nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants in the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive my sin, please, only this once, and plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me." So he went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord turned the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we thank you again for your word, for speaking to us, Father. Now we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to illuminate these words, to shine your holy light on these words, Lord, so we can understand them. And Father, so you can apply these directly to our hearts, so that our lives can be changed and we may become more like our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, I want us to begin. We see first that we are to pass down the word. We come to chapter 10, and yet again Moses and Aaron go before the throne of Pharaoh. And notice as our passage opens, there are two reasons for God's judgment. Number one, in verse 1, the Lord says that I may show these signs among them, so that Pharaoh and his people continue to understand that Yahweh is the one true God. The whole account of Exodus has been a demonstration against the gods of Egypt, against Pharaoh, and a display of the Lord's power. But then there's the second reason that God is hardening Pharaoh's heart and judging Egypt. Notice verse 2. So that Moses may tell these things to his son and grandson. The truth of God's mighty deeds, the Lord is saying, of my mighty deeds are to be passed down from generation to generation. That's in part why God is doing this, why he's displaying his power and judgment, so that Moses and the Israelites can pass this down to their children and their children's children. This passage is making an impression on Moses because Moses writes in Deuteronomy the words of the Shema in Deuteronomy 6. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently. So when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Passing down to children and grandchildren. And notice something about verse 2. What Moses is specifically to pass down. The Lord says, how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them. He's passing down the just judgments of God. God's wrath poured out on the Egyptians because of their rebellion and because of their sin. When Moses is gathering around the dinner table, or he's gathering around for family worship with his son and with his grandson, he's speaking the whole counsel of God. He's telling his son and his grandson, his grandchildren, about God's mercy and about God's kindness, certainly God's love, God choosing Israel, God choosing Moses, all the work he's done in his life. But at the same time, Moses is teaching his son and his grandson about the judgment of God, the whole counsel of God, word of God. We don't hold any parts back. We teach our children all of God's word so that they receive a full understanding of God's perfect character, that he is a just judge who will punish sinners. But there's mercy. There's grace. We can hide ourselves in him. We can hide ourselves in Christ. So the Lord is intentional here to tell Moses that his mighty deeds must be passed down from generation to generation. That's important to our church to this day, that we raise our children in the Word, the full counsel of God, teaching our children all of God's Word. Second, tonight, we see Pharaoh refusing humility. Now notice verse 3, what the Lord says to Pharaoh. He asks this question, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Now, if we go back through the story, we see all the way back in Exodus 5 that at first Pharaoh claimed that he didn't know the Lord. He thought that Yahweh, the God of Israel, was just another one of the pantheon of many gods in the world. But now, after 7 plagues, Pharaoh no longer has this excuse. He can no longer claim that he doesn't know the God of Israel. He has seen firsthand God's almighty power several times. He has the Lord work through Moses. He has even seen Moses and Aaron plead with the Lord, and the Lord remove the plagues. So it's not that Pharaoh lacked knowledge of God's power. He knew who the one true God is. This is a complete refusal on Pharaoh's part to acknowledge God and submit to him. Actually, Romans chapter 1 tells us this is the case. This is what is happening with every person who rejects God. Listen to what Romans 1 tells us. For what can be known about God is plain, because God has shown it. His invisible attributes have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. So men are without excuse. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. This is exactly what Pharaoh is doing. Pharaoh is without excuse. He knows who the one true God is. Claiming to be wise, he's actually a fool. His foolish heart is growing darker and darker. To be humble. What does it mean to humble yourself? The Lord says in verse 3, will you refuse to humble yourself before me? What does it mean to be humble? Well, in the Hebrew language, this word means to place yourself under. Placing yourself under the position of authority. One who is above you. Under one who is in a position of authority over you. We see that you are to, the Lord asks, will you refuse to humble yourself before me? So the humility is directed to God. And remember, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking, oh, how terrible, how lowly, how awful I am. Humility is simply thinking less often of yourself. Thinking less often of yourself and more about others and more about the one who you are under authority. More often of the Lord. There's a one-time humbling for believers when you first humble yourself and bow the knee to the Lord. I hope that you have experienced that in your life where you repent of your sins and you begin trusting in Christ for the first time. But then for the Christian, the rest of life is a daily humbling, a daily denial of self. A daily seeking to place yourself further under the authority and lordship of God, under His Word, listening to the voice of His Spirit. It's we, like Pharaoh, refuse to humble ourselves, or we say, will I submit to the Lord's way again, knowing that His way is right, His way is best. We must continue to humble ourselves. Now, later in Scripture, in Numbers chapter 12, we read this about Moses. Moses was very meek or humble, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Moses is declared to be the most meek, the most humble man on the face of the earth. Now, Moses is a powerful man. He's walking into the throne room of Pharaoh over and over again, standing up against one of the most powerful men in the world. Moses is not thinking of himself as lowly or woe is me. He's just making himself, thinking less often of himself, placing himself under the lordship of God, sacrificing himself, his desires, his preferences for the Lord. That's what makes him so humble. He's willing to submit to the Lord's will. Wherever the Lord calls, that's where he goes. So here, Pharaoh and Moses are set up as polar opposites. And then we have Moses, who is declared to be the most meek and humble man in all the earth. Third, we see in Pharaoh a partial submission. Now notice verse 4. In this eighth plague, the Lord says, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country. These locusts will cover the face of the land, so that no one can see the land. They will eat everything that they see. There will be nothing green left. They'll fill every house from Pharaoh's house down to the lowest servant's house. And notice verse 7. Pharaoh's servants are very fed up with the plagues at this point. We come to verse 7. And Pharaoh's servants say this. Let the men go. Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined? Pharaoh, let the men go. Egypt is ruined. Let the men go. Let them serve their God in the desert. Have you not learned your lesson yet? Now keep in mind what Moses has commanded or has said several times to Pharaoh. He has said, let my people go. But you notice what the servants say and what Pharaoh later says. Not let my people go or your people may go. They say, let the men go. So Pharaoh is trying to skirt God's plan. Pharaoh tried to do this once already back in chapter 8. He told Moses and Aaron that they could take the people and that they could go and they could serve their God in the wilderness, but he said, do not do it outside of the bounds of Egypt. You must stay within the land. And Moses says, we can't do that. God has commanded us to take a 3 days journey into the wilderness. We can't obey you, Pharaoh. We must fully obey God. So Pharaoh is now doing this again. He's saying, okay, fine, I will let you go. I'll let the men go. So notice verse 8. Moses and Aaron are called back into Pharaoh's chambers, and Pharaoh says, go serve the Lord God. And he asks this sly question, but which ones are to go? And Pharaoh's trying to submit to God and get relief from punishment, relief from the plagues, but he still wants to have it his way. He still wants to exercise control. Notice verse 9. Moses says, we will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and daughters and with our flocks and herds. Again, there is not a single ounce of compromise in Moses. This is exactly what we want from our spiritual leaders, isn't it? This is what we want from our pastors, from our elders, church leaders, all spiritual leaders, for the heads of households, not to have any inkling of compromise from the world. Wholeheartedly following God's will to the letter. Moses says, we will obey God and we will bring everyone. God has commanded us that we must hold a feast to the Lord. This includes all people. He refuses to compromise with Pharaoh. Pharaoh knows if I can just hold back the women and the children, that will keep the men from running away and never coming back. If we can hold on to the families, these men will come crawling back in just a few days. So Pharaoh says, I will never let your little ones go. Pharaoh wants to submit to God. He wants relief from God, but only partially so. He says, God, I'll follow you, I'll obey you, but I will not go that far. That's a danger for many Christians, isn't it? God, I'll follow you, but not that far. I'll follow you, but don't touch my finances. I'll keep that for myself. God, I'll humble myself and submit to you, but don't ask me to forgive that person who's hurt me. God, I'll submit to you that worldliness in my life. Pharaoh shows us there is no partial submission to the Lord. It's all or nothing. We've learned in Ephesians, the old man is gone. There is a new man in Christ. Following Christ is the death of the old man. It's not a halfway endeavor. It's a full submission. The old man is gone. The old man is dead. There is now new life in Christ. Placing yourself entirely under the lordship of Christ in all things. Christian, are there areas in your life where, like Pharaoh, you are trying to just partially submit? Are you holding back from the Lord? Well, next we come to the plague. Because of Pharaoh's failure to submit fully to the Lord, God's judgment is poured out on Egypt in the form of locusts. Now, in ancient times, locusts were feared because a swarm of locusts caused great devastation to all crops. There's actually ancient writings of writers who described clouds of locusts darkening the sky. Where verse 14 tells us the locusts settled over the whole country. So dense was this swarm and has never been seen before and will never be seen again. Isn't that amazing? Verse 15, they ate every green thing in the land, nothing remained. Verse 15, they covered the face of the whole land so that the land was darkened. Meaning the sun could not even be seen because of the mass of locusts flying above. And my former professor, John Currid, he notes, this is symbolic of the darkened state of Egypt. The land itself was completely dark, just as the heart of Pharaoh and the Egyptians were also pitch dark. And like the previous plagues that we have seen, this judgment of locusts is prefiguring the great final judgment, the last judgment, the final day of the Lord. Actually, I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 9 to see again that the plagues are prefiguring the Lord's ultimate judgment. Beginning with verse 1, we read, "And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plants or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them." It's just a horrible, terrifying scene. This is one of the many reasons why we evangelize our family and friends and our neighbors and our community and our city, our world. We pray for the lost to come to salvation because we do not want them to see this final judgment. Or verse 6, those people will seek death and they will not find it. They will long to die. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. That's how severe the final judgment will be. So this judgment in Exodus is minuscule in comparison to what will happen for those who refuse God until the last day. Next, we see Pharaoh's desperation. Notice verse 16. Pharaoh's desperation has intensified even from previous chapters. Verse 16, Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron. To hastily call is to rush. This is the first time that Pharaoh has rushed through the plague to call Moses and Aaron. The plague of the locusts is so severe and so devastating. Pharaoh rushes to get Moses and Aaron back. And notice verse 16, his confession is even fuller this time than it was with the previous plague. Verse 16, Pharaoh says, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you." Pharaoh previously confessed a general sin. But now notice he says, "I have sinned against the Lord, your God, and I have sinned against you." He even confesses to sinning against Moses and Aaron. Pharaoh seems to be making some progress. But notice there's something missing from his confession. He says, "Forgive my sin, please," verse 17, "only this once." He's only willing to admit one sin. Forget all the previous sins. It's just this once. And he confesses to sinning against the Lord and sinning against. What about all of the people that Pharaoh has subjected to harsh, painful slave labor, that he has domineered over, treating them like filth day in and day out? There's no admittance of sin against any of these people. Again, Pharaoh, even in his desperation and his confession of sin, it's only halfway. Notice something else about Pharaoh's plea. Verse 17, he asks the Lord to remove this death. Remove this death. This plague of locusts was a plague of death. All of the livestock is gone. Now all the crops are gone. So this plague is removing all of the food sources from the people of Egypt. It is a plague of death, death to the nation. So here Pharaoh's desire is to be free from the pains of death. He wants the Lord to remove the curse of death. This pales in comparison to the plague that we saw in Revelation. Here, Pharaoh is saying that he wants to be free so that he does not die. The people in Revelation are feeling such pain and such torment that they want to die. Pharaoh wants to be free from death, but we know after the removal of the plague, he will go right back to his old ways. He frees you from eternal judgment, but not so that you can just have relief and then go back to a life of sin. He frees you so that you can then begin to live a life for him, a life devoted to him in full submission and humility under him. Well, notice how our passage ends. Moses pleads with the Lord. In verse 19, the Lord turned the wind and drove the locusts into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left. This is actually foreshadowing what will come later in Exodus 14. Listen to Exodus 14, beginning in verse 27. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. So just as the Lord threw these locusts into the Red Sea, so Pharaoh and his army would also be thrown into the sea. Not one of them remained. God's judgment, when it comes, is swift. After the locusts were removed, Pharaoh again hardened his heart against the Lord. I want us to end tonight by asking the question, where do we see Christ in this passage? Sometimes it's difficult in texts like this. Always find Christ. If we dig deeply in every page of Scripture, we can always find our Savior. Where do we see Christ in this passage? It's in the removal of death. Pharaoh wanted the temporary removal of pain, and he wanted the removal of the curse of locusts, the curse of death. Christ, our Savior, came to permanently remove the curse of death. He came to take on himself God's full wrath and judgment. In the plague of locusts, the earth was darkened, signifying God's judgment. Remember when else the earth was darkened? The whole earth was darkened as Christ hung on the cross and faced the weight of his Father's wrath against sin. So the lesson is this: plead to the Lord. Seek the removal of his curse and his judgment, but don't stop there. Continue repenting. All of life is repentance. Continue repenting, committing, continue submitting all of your life to the Lord. Continue humbling yourself before. Oh Lord, we thank you that you warn us of the judgment that is to come, but you don't just give us a warning, Lord, you also give us an answer. You give us an answer and you give us salvation in Jesus Christ, Lord. Help us all to run from this curse of death, this plague of death, to find relief from eternal death in Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up to you our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones. Those, Father, that don't know you and aren't trusting in you. Like Pharaoh, they refuse to humble their hearts. They refuse to submit to you, Lord. Father, we pray that you would help us to pass down these truths like you told Moses to pass to his son and to his grandson. May we pass these to our children and may we pass these to our loved ones so that they will know judgment is coming, Lord, but there is relief. There is salvation in no other name but in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be your bold servants this week, to proclaim your word, Father, to serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.